San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. We have an app for 760 KFMB if you want to hear on your smartphone. And if you want to stream it, it's 760KFMB.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author. He is a family office expert and advisor to several high-net-worth families. Did I leave anything out, Richard Muzio? Good evening. How are you tonight? CPA. Did I say CPA?
I don't remember, but I am. I don't do taxes, in case anybody's wondering. So, Joe, how you feel? I'm doing great. How you feeling about your New England pick last weekend?
You know what? I won out of
yeah, one out of two.
But I won money on the second game. I made a small wager on it, and I stayed away from the New England game. But I do think Seattle will take it by a few points.
I've got Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, I think by 3 to 5 points. Who knows? But it should be. Let's hope it's a good game. I don't know how it could be better than the last one, Seattle-San Francisco. That was quite an interesting game with a lot of momentum shifting, correct?
Yeah, poor San Francisco. Every year they get so close.
Hey, they've already got their rings. That's why I hope Seattle wins. They don't have their. Denver has their couple of rings, and it's always nice to have a city, you know, get their championship for the first time, right?
I guess.
Yeah. That's the way I kind of look at it. So, but anyway, interesting. Well, a new mayor's poll is coming out tomorrow morning, and I just was thinking the other day. You know, we had when Mayor Sanders was in office, we had his last interview before he left office, and then when Mayor Filner was in office, we had his last interview before he left office.
Although that one didn't work out quite.
So I don't know if we're going to get Faulkner Alvarez on. But good luck to everybody, and we'll see how that goes. And we did have Nathan Fletcher on, you know, and he didn't make the. Gosh, I'm sorry, everybody.
Hey, no, but we had Scott Peters on, and he got elected.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. We've had Marty Emmer. We've had a lot of good people on, and we'll continue to do so. And we've even had the treasurer on, who's under a little fire right now, but we'll see how that shakes out.
Oh, you mean the $15,000 penalty for a $30 underpayment?
Yeah. I think that might get a little national notoriety. You know, that's one of those bizarre stories, you know, the strict application. And I would just like to know if he's ever waived that for.
What's the point of an appeals process if you can't ever grant an appeal?
Right.
I mean, you know,
I thought appeal was denied, you know.
Yeah, the appeal was denied. So what's the point of having an appeal process if you have to stick to the precise letter of the law?
Well, maybe there'll be a judge or a jury that weighs in on that, and maybe something will come up.
Anyway.
So we hope that works out for the benefit of the taxpayer in that instance. So, but anyway, we talked a little about Wolf of Wall Street last week.
Did you see him on Piers Morgan?
No, who?
What's his name?
Jordan
Belfort. Jordan. Was on Piers Morgan. Was it last night or the night before?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen some of his YouTube presentations after he got out of jail, and you know he is slick. He is, right? I mean, he's
He does motivational speaking now and sales training, and
I don't know if he found religion yet, but heck, he's selling those kits for close to $2,000, and if people are buying them, you know, good for him. But whatever.
Yeah, he was on Piers Morgan. I guess it was last night.
Yeah, you should go on YouTube because he uses all the same colorful language that he used. By the way, that movie set a record for F-bombs. Did you know that?
Like, I heard about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the sad thing is I'm watching this. When I read that after I saw the movie, I said, I don't think I heard 500 F-bombs.
They probably didn't even notice, too.
But anyway, it's kind of funny. Well, it kind of leads into tonight's show because I just heard a report yesterday about they think the 2008 recession may not have happened if there were more women and older men trading and investing on Wall Street, as opposed to all the young men with the testosterone issue. And then, of course, you see Wolf of Wall Street, and that was testosterone run amok on steroids. So, you know, there's actually people doing studies testing saliva and hormonal changes as markets go up and down. And that may be, you have any theories or thoughts on that, Richard?
You know, I don't have any theories or thoughts on that, Joe. I think the crash would have happened anyway.
Okay.
Because when there's so much leverage out in the universe.
Yeah, testosterone and leverage, that's my point.
It's just, So one follows the other, huh?
Right.
Your scientific study.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, we've got two guests that flew in from Arizona tonight, two professors from Arizona State University. And I was learned about their program a few months ago from the notable and he's just a gregarious and very generous philanthropist, T. Denny Sanford, whose name also appears on the Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute. And by the way, we just had a show with some of their researchers in December. But he got up and presented at their one of these monthly gatherings at the Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute, and he proceeded to discuss his latest venture in philanthropy. And he had two guests that we have on tonight there. And we have the director of the Sanford Harmony Project, Professor Rick Fabes, and also Professor Carol Martin with us. So good evening, Rick. How are you tonight?
We're good.
Excellent.
It's great to be here.
Excellent. You could pull that microphone closer if you like. And then Carol, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine.
That's wonderful. So why don't you just give us a brief thumbnail sketch of your educational backgrounds, and then we'll get into the program where you went to college.
Ladies first.
Oh,
Carol.
Goodness. Okay. I went to the University of Georgia as an undergraduate, and I'm a Southern girl, but my dad was in the military, so we moved all over. Mm-hmm. Didn't actually get raised in the South. Mm-hmm. I went to Rutgers, got a master's degree in in experimental psychology. Can't mm-hmm. even remember my own degrees. I did take educational psychology as well at
mm-hmm.
Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to the University of Georgia for my PhD in child and family studies.
Wonderful. Rick, how about yourself?
I grew up in Oklahoma, went to school after high school in Colorado, came back to Oklahoma, then up to Michigan, and then to Arizona State, where I've been for 35 years.
And that's where you got your doctorate at ASU also?
In Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay. Wonderful. Wow. And you've been at how long at Arizona State?
For 35 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you're
a native.
Anyway, do you want to, for the benefit of our audience, want to reiterate what Denny presented that day about the genesis of the whole idea and how he came to your university and presented this concept? So, why don't you take that?
As you know, in the San Diego area, Denny is a visionary, mm-hmm. and he has...
He's at the opera tonight, in case anybody's wondering. I'm sorry.
Visionary opera fan as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny has put his money where his mouth is, and mm-hmm. he really wants to make a difference. And he's doing this in the health area, very big time. But in his heart, as he talks about,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that is most dear to him is improving relationships between boys and girls, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the same passion and desire to do that as he does to cure diabetes or cure cancer. So he came to Arizona State University because of our president of the university, who is a change maker. Arizona State is a really different institution of higher education. There are very few places where a project like this could happen. Arizona State is one of those. He and our president hit it off. Denny recognized that this could be a change-making opportunity. The president of the university knew about our work, came to us, and that's where the impetus came from.
But why did he pick ASU? Do you have one of the largest child and family development programs in the country now?
We do have one of the premier programs mm-hmm. in the country.
So
Denny has a residence in Arizona and okay. came to know our president, Michael Crow.
Okay.
And Michael Crow asked Denny what he would like to do next with mm-hmm. his time, energy, and resources. And this is what he identified.
So Michael asked him, what's your dream? What do you want, what do you want to see happen in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, I would like to reduce the divorce rate. I would like to see the divorce rate.
And he revealed some of his personal issues with that and some of the things he went through, which I guess helped
yes.
motivate him. See, these visionaries, they see a problem. Rather than wallow in it, they say, well, how can we do better? How can we solve things, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and what Denny always says is that he looks for the gaps, what's not there,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to fill those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a huge gap. We need to know more about relationships and how to make people have better relationships. And nobody teaches that. That's
right.
not being taught out there.
Right.
So our program was designed to try to do that.
Yeah. You mean taught in schools, and then
to do it in schools with children,
right.
Which is,
and then there was a decision to where do we begin? Seventh, eighth grade, third grade, high school? No, pre-K to grade 6, and why?
Right.
That's our program. So our program is designed to begin in preschool, go up through 6th grade. We know, if we know anything about child development, we know that beginning early is the key, mm-hmm. and that it is not just more effective in terms of the outcomes for the child, but in terms of outcomes for society, early intervention is better. Mm-hmm. So Denny recognized this as well, and so we are talking about a program that infuses relationship skills, healthy relationship skills, beginning in preschool and going up to 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and your listeners might be thinking, really, it's crazy to think about preschool as a place to do something like this. But it really isn't. So the research that Rick and I had done, and with some of our other colleagues early on, was all about looking at how boys and girls interact and whether they interact very much in preschool. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our research had looked at, I think, I don't know how many preschools, probably 30 different preschools we've studied. And boys and girls don't play together. And that seems to get worse during preschool. So it seemed that that was a critical time.
Mm-hmm.
So we really were very logical and rational in trying to choose that particular time to mm-hmm. start the program. So if that's the time they're starting to diverge, we want to bring them back together. So one of the main ideas of our program is that we're trying to increase the contact between boys and girls and make sure that it's positive contact. Mm-hmm. We want it to be fun, they should enjoy each other, so that they become more comfortable with each other, they learn how to interact with each other, and they broaden their skill set.
So great preschool, basically age 4, we're talking, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So why do boys and girls not play together?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of scientists trying to understand this, and part of the work that we did was to try to understand this.
You mean it's 4- and 5-year-olds, they're not playing together?
No, they don't, because my kid's now 22, 21, and 17, and none of them played with the opposite sex.
Right.
And that's my question is why?
That's very typical. I think it's partly activity level, it's partly different interest that they have, but it's also, and this is the research that I'm particularly interested in and have done, is that they think that they're not going to have fun with the other sex. So they're assuming that it won't be fun, and they're doing it even when they're 4 and 5.
Hmm.
And we've done research to demonstrate that.
And then, of course, breaking through the gender roles and stereotypes as well is another part of your mission, right?
Right.
Like girls can't be doctors, or girls can't be, and then they get this ingrained early on.
Right.
And then exactly. A lot of times you're probably, you know, dealing with what their home issues. If they're hearing a lot of strife at home, or parents are going through separation or divorce and fighting, that's got to impact kids as well. You probably see some of that too, right? And, you know, I think families, parents sometimes put too much onus on teachers in schools. And, you know, I think you got to get the parents involved somehow, some way as well. I think has that been your experience, Richard? You know, getting active in schools and...
Well, yeah, I've always been active in my kids' schools.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's tough for a lot of parents when both parents are working, Joe.
Yeah.
There's really no free hours for a lot of, you know, when both parents are working. Or obviously if you're a single parent home.
Yeah.
There's probably even less time.
But one of the things that we've come to understand about this cleavage that happens between boys and girls, and it starts so early and it increases over time, is that it really is a product of the group dynamics of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see mom and dad typically at home interacting together. Parents don't force boys and girls apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a sibling at home who's of the other sex as well. So it really seems to be from the time that children come together in a group that this separation of boys and girls starts to appear. And mm-hmm. then it gets stronger with age.
Hmm.
And then what happens, of course, is that they spend these formative years spending time only with members of their own sex. Then puberty comes. They become interested in the other sex.
Mm-hmm.
They want to start to understand and interact with them.
But
their experiences are they have no real understanding, no general experience.
How to build a healthy
and how to do that in a healthy, positive way.
So we'll get into the nuts and bolts. We have to take a break right now. I'll be right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right. We are back with Professor Richard Fabes and Carol Martin, Professor Martin, who work at Arizona State University. Rick Fabes is the director of the T. Denny Sanford School of Social and Family Dynamics. And we want to get back into the Sanford Harmony program here. And I don't know where do we leave off exactly? I'm not exactly sure. But what are you developing in the program? What does it consist of? And what methodologies are you using to help combat address the issues that we're trying to solve or reduce?
So just to remind your listeners, this is a program, an innovative, unique program. There's nothing else out there that even comes close to this. That is a program that is woven into the everyday classroom environment. We've worked with teachers from the very beginning of this program because we know how busy and what demands are placed on teachers now. The program is about creating a positive, healthy climate for relationships among the children in the classroom, particularly boys and girls. We believe that when there are harmonious relationships in the classroom, classroom management improves, teachers can spend more time teaching the subjects to their students, and it will improve the learning environment. And that is a very important key to what we're trying to do. We believe that there will be immediate outcomes in terms of improved learning when teachers understand and address and help create positive relationships in the classroom.
So in terms of everyday practices, what are some of the things that you do in classroom?
Well, we do four different things, actually. The everyday practices are built into the actual daily structure of the classroom, like Rick was talking about. These are things that teachers find very easy to integrate. So I'll give you one example. This is one that we really enjoy talking about, but it's called the buddy up time. So children are paired, boys and girls are paired with a buddy, and they have that buddy for the week. And during, for instance, in preschool or kindergarten, they might do blowing bubbles together. They might do, they might do any kind of play activity that the teacher can think of. But they're together for the time, the buddy time that the teacher sets aside, however much time that is. And they'll do this for maybe 3 or 4 times during the week. Teachers have been so creative. They come up with these buddy boards that have the pictures of the kids on it. They shift the pictures the next week. They move to a new buddy. And children who have never, ever had a friend before end up having friends through this process. So because every child in the class gets to know every other child in the class, they get to know each other. They don't have to like everyone, but they probably will learn something about them and learn to respect them.
And it doesn't, it matches boys with girls, girls with girls, and boys with boys, depending on how they rotate.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually.
Yeah, see, and the website is SanfordHarmonyProject.com, correct? In case listening.
Sanford Harmony Program.
Program, I'm sorry. .org. .org, I'm sorry. But I see on the website, it says meet up, buddy up, team up, and scramble up. So you go through this whole thing, and then you scramble and get some. I like that.
But teachers can implement these in any subject. So when they're doing math, when they're doing language arts, when they're doing reading, they can take these ideas, take these suggestions, and bring boys and girls together and give them this kind of experience.
When I was in public school for some of my grade school years, the gym teacher actually, we were doing square dancing with the boys. I thought it was a lot of fun. We were in our gym clothes, but he puts on a record and he does a square dance. I thought that was kind of fun. Well, who would you ever think you'd get when you get in gym class, do that kind of stuff? So
I did that also in my gym class. Mm-hmm. I think the other point about these everyday practices is that we're focusing on dyadic relationships with a buddy up. We're focusing on small groups and small teams in the team up. The meet up is the whole classroom together, mm-hmm. and the scramble up is the lunchroom activity. So lunchrooms are another place where things can go wrong mm-hmm. in schools. There's a lot of segregation going on. There's yep. not much supervision. Mm-hmm. Playgrounds are also like that. And so those are places that we really need to attack this problem of bringing boys and girls together. And so scramble up is essentially that. It's a structured lunchroom time. Mm-hmm. And it only happens if, you know, once a week or once every couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But children learn something about their partners when they go in their little lunch bunches of four or five children together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one more way to bring boys and girls together. And this whole idea of bringing boys and girls together, having positive experiences, is based on years and years of research in social psychology with adults. We're taking that and translating it to children. But for groups that don't normally get along, this is a way that's been demonstrated to be effective.
You got to break through that clique mentality, because kids get into cliques. Right. I mean,
And
adults too.
You know, so how do you break down prejudice? How do you break down bias?
Yeah.
As Carol's saying, there is a voluminous load of research out there on this, and that's what this program is based on.
Well, let's get into the review. We have to take a break. I know it's right now. We'll come right back with more of this after a long break. New sports, weather, etc. Hang on. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with the second adventure in your life. Over to Richard to thank our wonderful sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. We've got a couple of events to announce, too. But UBS, Michael Karanch and Drew Freitas couldn't do it without you guys. Drew, your mother is in our prayers. Drew Freitas' mother's not doing too well, so best wishes to her. Regents Bank, Sean Puckett, Steve Seft, and Best Business Bank here in San Diego, our favorite CPAs on the planet. I guess they're gearing up for tax season. Don Epic CPA, Paul Polito CPA with Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. Joel Grushkin, who's going to be with us next week. Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. The best CFO on the planet, or CFO company that assists businesses with improving their value, that would be Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. Jason Kruger, CPA. Thank you very much. Also, Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, helping businesses understand their risks better so that they can improve their value and be worth more money. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group. Again, congratulations on your merger late last year with those guys. Carl's now nationwide. And then our last two sponsors both have some really cool events coming up. Brenda Geiger with the Law Offices of Brenda Geiger has a really neat event going on, I believe it's February 12th. Let me make sure. February 12th that's Wednesday, February 12th at the Hyatt Place Hotel on South Melrose and Vista. It's Get Your Estate Plan Done. That's what your significant other really wants for Valentine's Day. That's a neat concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our guest last week, and that would be Servant Leadership Institute. Their winter conference coming up on February 4th and 5th here at the Omni Hotel in San Diego. I'm going to be there. I promised that I would behave and not ask any real difficult questions.
Will Bill Walton and Dick Enberg.
Bill Walton will not behave. We already know that. But ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. Yeah, Bill Walton, Dick Enberg are going to be there. Stephen M. R. Covey, Ken Blanchard. Some amazing thought leaders with regard to this general topic of leadership and how to basically be a servant leader. In other words, turn the hierarchy of leadership upside down. So that's coming up again, ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. So check out our website. Well, Joe, you do that part.
That's right. You can find out all about our sponsors and their personal information, contact information, etc. at iymoney.com. Just get over to the sponsors tab, and there's a nice drop-down menu there for you. So, but back to our guests, Professor Richard.
I wanted to ask a couple questions that are from practical experience with my kids going through public school.
Mm-hmm.
One has to do with bullying. When my middle daughter, Mia, was in fifth grade, she had some serious issues with the boy who was in fifth grade. And the school was actually quite dismissive about the whole thing. They didn't take it very seriously until I threatened to sue them. And then we got the boy transferred to another class. Obviously, what you're doing has a lot to do with trying to alleviate, well, what I think is even one incident is too much. There's simply too much bullying in school. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. There is too much bullying in school, and children need to feel safe to be able to do well in school. And a lot of what our program is about is trying to improve that classroom climate for children.
But the bullying typically isn't across genders. It's typically boys on boys and girls on girls, correct?
Well, there is cross-gender bullying. So it's all of the above.
Because my daughter's school, the administration told me it was really rare for a boy that young to be bullying a girl. Typically, it was boys on boys and girls bullying girls. And I basically said, I don't think you guys know what you're doing. They didn't really like my response. But, you know, my daughter couldn't sleep at night. She couldn't eat. It was really serious to her. And the school was like, well, what's the big deal? This happens all the time.
No, we should never act like that about bullying.
Well, it's more, people are more conscious of now, and hopefully there's a more concerted general effort.
I don't know that kids are more conscious of it.
Well, I mean amongst parents and
I don't know that parents are more conscious, Joe.
Well, school.
Because, for example, my experience with my daughter, the parents of this boy were very glib about it as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult
I thought
subject.
Maybe I should just go bully the dad because that'll take care of the situation.
But I think, Joe, you hit the nail on the head. It is a difficult subject. Mm-hmm. I do think that awareness about bullying is much greater now than it used to be. Schools do need to take some action. Many schools are mandated to take action. They just don't know what to do.
Right, they don't know what to do. But, I mean, they were mandated to take action because legal counsel said, look, everybody's going to get sued if we don't get better.
Right.
But then there was no direction or roadmap about, well, what the heck do we do to make this better?
That's why they developed this program. So why don't we get back to the pre-K start at the beginning with the Z and everything else and indicate to Richard and our listeners, some of the techniques that we can maybe do early on to help prevent this from happening in later grades.
Well, can we take a little aside here that really has to do with bullying? One thing that we were surprised about was that, so one of the people on our team, Laura Hanisch, is a professor in our school. She's an expert on victimization and bullying, and she has always talked about how most bullying programs, anti-bullying programs, don't work. So we did our first assessment of our program, and what we found, to our surprise, was that aggression in the children went down. So we're focusing on positive behaviors, mm-hmm. and yet we're affecting something that programs that intentionally try to decrease aggression are not doing as well.
So what are you doing? What are you doing? You think?
So we think this is really effective, and I think the buddy up study, the buddy up
early on
technique is one of the things I think that's so effective.
Mm-hmm.
We also have this little character Z that. So Z is...
This is more for pre-K, right?
This is the pre-K for the youngest children. We have a set of books that basically tell stories about this alien creature Z. So Z comes from a planet where there are only Zs, there are no boys, there are no girls, everyone's a Z. And Z crashes on Earth and, children on Earth are trying to teach Z. So Z becomes the teachable alien, which is also a teachable agent. Children learn better when they're helping other people learn something. So if children can teach another child something, they learn it better. Mm-hmm. They learn that information better. We didn't want to have any cases where we exhibited a bad behavior by a child because children also pay attention to those bad behaviors, and they glom onto them and they think this is the norm. We don't want them to think those bad behaviors are the norm. So we put any bad behaviors that we call bloopers or whoopsies in the Z creature. So the Z creature can make a mistake, not share toys, for instance, or be too rambunctious. And the children who are in the books with Z try to help Z learn a lesson. And when teachers are reading these books to the children in the classroom, the teacher stops and asks the children in the classroom, what would you tell Z to do? What would you recommend for Z? So the children in the class learn. They learn from the children in the book. And so there's multiple opportunities. So we have a series of, I can't remember how many books we have.
16 or so.
17 books, including the intro book. Mm.
Excellent.
For preschoolers.
Okay. And this is not about feminizing boys or making girls masculine, right? We wanted to get that out of the way because some people might have that prejudice going in, right?
Exactly. This is not trying to demasculinize boys or increase masculine tendencies in girls. This is about increasing the skill set that children bring to relationships and to their actions in the world.
So if you think about if children are sex segregating or gender segregating the way that we have talked about and the way we know they do, they're being exposed to one particular skill set, the skill set of their same sex peers. So they're learning how to interact. Girls are learning how to interact with girls. Boys are learning how to interact with boys. They're not learning that broader array of behaviors that you need to be able to interact with everybody.
And then at what age, they say our attitudes and bias get cemented at a pretty young age, by like 6, 7 years old, you already have your biases. So if you're learning bias at home or from peers or whatever, it's going to be a lifelong problem probably for you, right, to break through that?
Well, we're trying to break through it by starting early and making sure they get to know the other gender.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're right. I mean, you see it in businesses. You see it in all kinds of places. Of course, there's policies. We're more aware of it now, but it's still a struggle, an ongoing struggle. But anyway, we have to take a little break right now. We'll come right back with more of Richard Mann in Your Life with our guest from Arizona State University. Hang on. We'll be right back. We're back with our last segment with Professors Rick Fabe and Carol Martin. And Carol Martin from Arizona State University, the Sanford School of Social and Family Dynamics. And if there are any folks involved with schools out there, maybe a parent, maybe administrator, who would like to learn more about this program and maybe see if they want to experiment in their school with it, Sanford Harmony Project Program.org, and they can get a hold of reach both of you there and talk more about this.
Again, that's SanfordHarmonyProgram.org.
Correct.
Yeah. And, thank you.
And we're going to send this show to Chris Christie, by the way. He needs a little bit of help.
That'd be good. But now we're getting
a lot of help.
Yeah, but bullying. You said the schools don't really know what they're. You know, a lot of them are. The programs are not working right now because why? There's just. It's not really getting to the heart of the problem, or they're not taking the right approach, or what?
I don't think we know why they're not working, but one hypothesis is that they are demonstrating to children a behavior that's bad, that children might pick up and say, oh, well, here's another idea of something I could do, or another... it's almost making it more salient to them, even though, of course, it's happening around them. And so it just doesn't seem to be effective in changing their tendencies to do it.
And then you've noticed children that have been in your program early on, there's less antagonism and more
less
harmony.
There's more harmony.
More harmony.
Well, good.
So can I ask a question about mentorship?
Sure.
This also relates to personal experience with my kids. When my kids were all in sixth grade, they would pair up sixth graders with kindergartners, and it was the Little Buddy program, which is great. But I noticed, and I think the principal at my kid's school absolutely hates me because I was always such a pest. Boys always had a little buddy that was a boy, and girls always had a little buddy that was a girl. And I said one day, I said, why don't you pair boys with girls, girls with, you know. I said, because it's been my experience out in the business world that this continues to go on, that men only mentor men and women only mentor women. And I said, it can't be healthy for society, for business, if this is the case. Why is there so little cross-sexual mentoring? I mean, is it because it goes back to what everybody learned when they're 4, 5, and 6, and then it truly does just carry on all the way through life?
I think part of it, again, is that you feel more comfortable with people that you believe will be more similar to yourself.
But to me, part of mentorship should always be some degree of discomfort, that you're doing something where you're not, you want to get out of your comfort zone if you're truly going to mentor. I mean, as opposed to just trying to convey a message to somebody that's a status quo kind of, you know, mediocre message. And I would just love to, I guess I'm saying, I would love to see more mentorship of men and women.
That's our program.
That is our program. And there was a story in the New York Times about the Harvard Business School, where they are trying to shake things up.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've looked at that or not, but you might be really interested in that. They're very concerned with a lot of the same ideas that the Harmony program is, which is that males and females in business schools are not working together. Mm-hmm. That females are being left behind, even though they're absolutely star students, and they're trying to understand that.
Well, yeah, I'm in a profession where women make 78% of what men make for a similar position, yet 60% of the people in the profession are female. Mm-hmm. So there's a total and complete lack of gender equality in my own profession, which I find really disturbing, because there's no reason why that should be, other than, well, I guess 80 years ago, there was only 100% men in the profession. So I guess it's like running a marathon one step at a time. Can't change everything at once.
We can try,
I know.
Well, I noticed on your website, by the time you get to the upper grade levels, you're addressing things like diversity and inclusion critical thinking, communication, problem solving, and peer relationships. And that's all done in a more harmonious way, right? I mean,
those themes are present all the way through.
All the way through.
From preschool with Z. Z takes the children through some of these issues, and they teach Z about inclusion and acceptance and tolerance. We've been talking a little bit about the need for more tolerance.
Really, so really, this is just getting better life skills. It's
healthy relationship skills.
So it's need this at home, you need this at work, you need this on a daily basis.
Part of the issue, I think, with the bullying situations that we have, and why, coming back to why we're not making an impact in terms of bullying, is that there's no incentive for the bully to give up her or his behavior. Mm-hmm. It's effective. It's working. That person is getting what they're doing, what they
want. Something just came to mind, though. I remember when Columbine happened, a few days later, President Clinton was in a classroom outside of, it was too bad this was on the middle of the day, but he was with a bunch of high school students from right near the White House, and they were every color of the rainbow as far as race and ethnicity. And he had his wife's book, It Takes a Village, there, and he just wanted to reassure folks that most schools were safe places because everyone was dealing with that horrible tragedy. But that school had if there was a bully in the school, they had a system where it would be, they assigned two student arbitrators, and the bully and the victim, or the person who's having, the other student's having trouble with, teachers and administrators would stay out of this, but they had this option. You either, if you want to get expelled, but you can try this arbitration first. And they put those kids in a room, and they worked it out themselves nine times out of 10. And there were just a couple of rules, one speaker at a time. And they had some basic ground rules, but it was a peer mediation system. And I thought that was brilliant. I said, they need to do this. Have you ever heard of this, Richard?
Yeah, I remember the Clinton story.
Yeah. I thought, and that school there, I think called up there. I said, why are we doing this everywhere and where there's discrepancies? And these kids worked. We've all had that. You've been in a fight with somebody and you become good friends after a while. And this has happened in schools, right? So
a question, when do you bring in, for example, the LGBT issue? At what age for kids do you discuss tolerance with regard to people of different sexuality?
Well,
certainly it's not at pre-kindergarten.
Right. Our program goes up through sixth grade.
Right, okay.
And so right now that isn't directly addressed.
Okay.
But what we do try to do all the way through is make sure that children are included no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And so pick any kind of difference, anything that somebody might label as a difference, our program should be addressing that and intends to be addressing that.
Because it's so difficult for high school kids who are, for example, not heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through so much anyway because they're 14, 15, 16. I mean, it's a hard time anyway.
Right.
There's
no reason why that should be so difficult, in my opinion.
Anything that makes them different, that makes them stand out. So we have this really cherished story about one teacher who was using the Sanford Harmony program and the Buddy Up. And there was a boy in the classroom who had autism, and he'd never had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And after they did the Buddy Up program, for the first time, this boy had a friend. And this is just such a great example of what a difference-making program this can be. And for a child who was excluded and different for obvious reasons, to now feel part of the group. The teacher was in tears. We were in tears.
Really? Is there something?
It's very, this healthy relationship focus is very powerful.
Did they get some news coverage? I thought I saw. Did they get any news coverage at all or no? It should, because I did see another recent story. And I think it was not related to your program.
And I think this is how we address the bullying issue, that we change the dialogue to how do we promote positive behavior rather than the focus on what's going bad.
Anyway, we are out of time, Professors Faves and Martin, but thank you so much for flying in from Arizona. You're doing great work, and anybody out there who wants to experiment and look at this
SanfordHarmonyProgram.org.
There
you
go. And thank you to Denny Sanford for all the great generosity he's provided.
Hope you enjoyed the opera, Denny.
Yes.
And thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Denny.
Yes,
thank
you,
Diane,
Denny.
And Bill, see you later.
Anyway, Richard, you have a great week. And thanks to Dan Noon, our sound engineer, for making us sound great. Thanks to Craig Blank, our account executive. Thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. And stay tuned for the Super Bowl next Sunday. Let's see who's going to win. I think Seattle by a whisker. So have a great week, everybody. Good night. Take care.